is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. History was made in Wisconsin Tuesday when two Democrats beat Republican state senators in unprecedented recall elections. One of those Democrats is La Crosse's former 95th Assembly District Representative, Jennifer Schilling. She defeated former La Crosse State Senator Dan Kopanky with 55% of the vote, although the election results still need to be certified. Hundreds of Schilling supporters packed into a Northside La Crosse Hotel ballroom Tuesday night, excitement and energy radiating throughout the room. The crowd went wild as she was declared the winner. Here's part of Schilling's 20-minute victory speech.
Today is the first step in mending a broken democracy, restoring trust, and lifting our communities together while we weather an unfamiliar environment we find ourselves in. The deep divide and polarization we have seen in Wisconsin has planted the seeds of arrogance, cynicism, and outrage. But what we have harvested here tonight is a crop that yields change, balance, and the restoration of the ideals of the state that has seen itself thrown into the national spotlight.
Schilling told supporters as senator-elect she would stop the assault on the middle class, protect schools, provide health care for those in need, and look more closely at tax breaks for businesses. 5 miles away, Kopanky held his election night party at an Onalaska hotel, where the mood was more subdued. Kopanky conceded to Schilling shortly after 10 o'clock, but says he does not regret supporting collective bargaining restrictions or the state budget.
I stand by what the governor and this legislature has done. I stand by our leaders, Scott Fitzgerald and Jeff Fitzgerald. You had to be there to know what they went through to make sure that we could get our business and our work done and do the right thing for the people of Wisconsin. You had to be there. It was not easy. It was waters that we hadn't been in before.
So what does this political shakeup mean for Western Wisconsin, and what lies ahead for voters? For the answers, I visited UW-La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim today at his home. But first, he gives his initial thoughts to Tuesday's outcome.
My initial reaction is we're kind of watching history and we don't think about it because it's right staring us in the face. The fact is in Wisconsin, in our entire history, we've had 4 recall elections. Only 2 were successful. So we now double that number. 2 out of the 6 Republicans were recalled. And while you could argue about why and how and strategies, the fact is it occurred and it means that the Democrats at least made some inroads and the recalls were somewhat successful for them. For the Republicans, statewide, they can say, well, we dodged a bullet. We didn't lose control of the state Senate. And many of the recall candidates that were being recalled did quite well, frankly. They were in the mid to upper 50s and frankly, had relatively easy. It's all said and done, however, it's not pleasant. And one of the messages, if you do certain things and you antagonize enough people, they can go out and get signatures against you and make you stand for re-election faster than you wanted to. I cannot imagine any candidate saying, "Boy, I love this. This was a great summer. I love campaigning, love doing this." It was a task which I had to do, of course.
So from the beginning, people had said that Kopanky was one of the more vulnerable senators to lose his seat. Why him compared to some of the other Republicans that were being recalled?
A number of things. One is he ran in 2000, 2004, 2008, and in each one he lost the first election, won the next 2, but they were very close elections. So he's always had close elections. That's been part of the way he's had to deal with things. Secondarily, the district, Western Wisconsin in general, but particularly the 32nd Senate District, has been tending Democratic. Tending means slowly but surely the numbers for Democrats have slowly crept up. This carry was carried by John Kerry, for example, as president of 2004 candidate. Obama did really well in Western Wisconsin. I can think back to a time when Vernon and Crawford, especially Vernon County, was a Republican county. Today it's now tending Democratic. The suburbs around La Crosse at one time were pretty solidly Republican. Even the city was you could pick out of, say, at one time there were 21 wards, you could pick out about a third of them were Republican districts. And over time, virtually the entire city and many of the suburbs have now tended Democratic. That has shown up both in presidential elections, U.S. Senate elections, state elections of any kind. Scott Walker and Tom Barrett were virtually tied in this area. I think in La Crosse County it was virtually 50-50. I mean, Scott Walker carried the state 53-47, and yet Western Wisconsin was pretty much 50-50. So it tells you that this area still, it's two-party, but yet it could go either way that in certain circumstances. And I'll throw in one other thing. When last fall was a Republican year, the November elections of 2010, and you had Senator Dan Kopanky running for Congress against Ron Kind. And Ron Kind eked out a victory, relatively, I think, 10,000 vote margin. Dan Kopanky did not carry the 32nd Senate District against Ron Kind. And that was a telling fact that when they were faced with two local boys, shall we say, you know, both actually they both live in the same town of Campbell, believe it or not, and particularly the entire 32nd district, they, you know, Ron Kind versus Dan Kopanky, we like them both, but we're voting for, majority of people voted for Ron Kind. Those were precursors to saying that, and that's a long way of getting to the saying that the 32nd Senate district has been trending Democratic, and Dan Kopanky had ducked that bullet a couple times and carried it. People do split their tickets around here, but in this particular election, it kind of caught up with them.
So as you just said, a lot of the counties are shifting more towards the Democratic side. Schilling carried 4 out of the 5 counties in the 32nd district. She won she had the majority of the votes in La Crosse, Vernon, Richland, and Crawford. And Kopanky took Monroe County. Kopanky has traditionally done well in the rural areas. So what did Schilling do that was so right?
You have to remember that Dan Kopanky was a feed salesman before he went into politics, and he sold feed in Vernon and Crawford. So a lot of the farmers down in those areas knew him, and it's one of the reasons he did well. He even looking at his ads, a lot of his ads were running kind of conservative, rural look, shall we say. Jennifer Schilling, I think, looked at the results from 4 years ago, or actually 2.5 years ago. Tara Johnson did not carry Vernon and Crawford and those other counties. And I think Jennifer Schilling felt that maybe the key to her winning would be, she was going to do well in 95th. She might maybe split with 94th, or maybe their 94th would be more Republican, could be the big difference between Vernon and Crawford. So she paid a lot of attention to Vernon and Crawford and those counties, basically, the 96th Assembly District area. And she was particularly focused on getting out the vote. The Republicans have not ever been as good as the Democrats at getting out the vote. Democrats seem to have developed a model for the GOTV campaigns, and that Jennifer Schilling did a lot. She also campaigned a lot down there. She's a very likable person. She was the strongest candidate that the Democrats could have put up against Dan Kopanky. And so she had the personality, she had the experience, and let's call it the ground game to carry those areas. Throw in one other thing. In addition to trending Democratic, for a variety of reasons, Western Wisconsin, and particularly the 32nd Senate District, the voters here seem to be a little more displeased with the governor. I'm not sure. We're not a real strong labor union area, but the teachers, we like our education. We generally have civil servants that do a good job for us, and we generally are very more positive towards them. And I think a lot of people here, just the atmosphere, the environment of what was going on in Madison seemed to affect people over here more, and they were more displeased with the governor and the direction of the state, basically. So she kind of tied into that movement, a feeling that of unhappiness with what was going on in Madison, that we had to do something and stop this fairly radical agenda. And I think a lot of average people, I can't tell you how many people that I know that are Republican that said, you know, I'm a Republican and I supported him, but I just can't believe what's going on down in Madison. And so I think actually in some respects what was happening in Madison, the agenda and the protests seemed to affect people here maybe a little bit more than in other parts of the state. And Jennifer Schilling was smart in utilizing that to her advantage.
I want to talk with you about voter turnout. In La Crosse County alone, 58% of voters came out to vote. What are your thoughts on that?
I'll be honest. I've always told candidates when they run, I said, don't expect much to happen in the summer around here. You know, you can go out and shake hands and kiss babies and stuff, but most people in Wisconsin just don't want to deal with politics in the summer. I mean, we love our river, we love to get out, and we love summers, and politics is just, you know, it's one of those things we do in the fall. Once Labor Day comes, okay, we'll focus on what's going on. Well, that's been the way it's been, not this year. This year, for a variety of reasons, the public was energized by what was going on in the spring and into the summer. The Democrats especially were very early, very energized. Labor people clearly were highly energized about this. They felt personally affected by what was going on in Madison, and they are personally affected by what was going on. So you had this kind of a general attitude that things had changed, and somehow maybe we have to pay more attention. And I think the Republicans also started to recognize, maybe somewhat late, that this was bigger than just recall of a few different districts, and they began to realize that the state senate was at stake. And maybe in some respects the direction of politics, the size of government, the Republican agenda in general, and it became a referendum to them too. And I think they energized at the end as well. And I think that's part of the reason they maintained 4 out of the 6 districts. Plus, called in their forces, and both sides did this. They called in outside forces, outside groups, and it was very clear this became a high energized election. And of course, Ed, you couldn't miss it. There are times sometimes in April when people say, there's an election tomorrow. I kind of missed that. I can hardly imagine. You'd have to have your head in the sand not to know there was an election on Tuesday. You got tons of stuff in the mail. You had radio and TV going, just constant phone calls, robocalls, reminders to vote, people at the doors. There wasn't a single technique not utilized in this election. And so the public was energized, and surprisingly enough, they didn't seem terribly upset by it. Oftentimes, and I'm sure you've heard this, towards the end of an election campaign, people say, I'm really tired of those ads, I'm sick of it, I don't pay attention, and, you know, kind of a negative reaction. I honestly did not hear much of that this summer. That surprised me. I did hear a little bit, but... for the most part, people seemed willing to pay some attention, but I think, frankly, people made up their mind very early. Both sides made their minds up very early in this, and I think all the millions spent was somewhat wasted money. But that's okay. It's good. Good for media. Good for, you know. Good for the local economy. I'm sorry.
It's a positive spin on it.
Yeah, I know. I kind of joke. I said, well, send money. You know, yeah. I've talked to some media people outside. I said, well, advertise it. Send money to Wisconsin. We could use a few extra million here. So. You kind of joke about it, but it all added to the aura of the whole thing.
The Democrats needed 3 seats in order to take the majority in the Senate, and obviously they only got 2. We don't know the outcome of the Democratic recall on Tuesday. But the fact that Democrats did pick up 2 seats, Jennifer Schillings being one of them, and Jessica King, she defeated Randy Hopper, what does it mean that there are 2 more Democrats in the Senate?
Well, it narrows the margin, so there you have an extremely close margin now, which really means the unity of the majority party, the Republicans, and minority for that matter. They have to stay unified if anything is going to, they maintain their agenda. I think this should moderate the Republicans to some degree. There are several Republicans that are considered mavericks or moderates, and frankly, at least one of them, Dale Schultz, state senator south of here, to be honest, he's been somewhat ostracized by his own party. He was bucking the Walker agenda and sort of saying, I don't like this, my district doesn't like it, and he basically was not treated well by his own party. Well, he is now, could now be the deciding vote, and suddenly he is a moderate that the Republicans are going to have to pay a lot of attention to. So, and there's several others like that as well. There's at least 3 or 4 other state senators that are considered moderate. Dale Ellis is considered moderate. Luther Olson is considered moderate. So there's I mentioned earlier the word the center holds. Well, this could be an indication where the Republicans' agenda is going to slow down and moderate, and maybe some of the social agenda that some Republicans would like to promote simply won't happen.
So you've seen Senator-elect Schilling really work her way up within the political arena in Wisconsin. What do you foresee in her future in the Senate?
That's interesting. Well, unfortunately, when you walk in, you know, whatever seniority you had in the other house disappears. It's sort of interesting that there is a difference between the Senate and the Assembly. And if you've talked to either one of them, they get paid exactly the same, but there's a cultural difference between them. But she's now a rookie, you know, newcomer in the Assembly, in the Senate, and probably will be treated like that to somebody. With open arms, of course, but yet she won't have any seniority, and it'll take her a while to work up and move up in the party ranks. So for her future, I think, first of all, I think she'll be happy. You know, she has ducked running for the Senate in the past. She could have run, you know, a year and a half ago against Senator Kapanke, and she chose not to do that. She's got two young kids, and so that's always been an important part of her life as well. But the reality is, you know, she's taken over in a position. She's in a minority party in the Senate as well. So her life will change. She's also leaving the Joint Finance Committee, the powerful budget committee, where she had a certain amount of influence because of that. And I don't expect that she would be able to get back on that committee being a rookie. Somewhere down the road, it's not inconceivable that she might think about running for something in higher office at some point. Congressman Ron Kind has always talked about being interested in higher office, running for U.S. Senate or running for governor or something else. And at some point, maybe the congressional seat would be open. And at that point, Jennifer Schilling would be certainly a very logical possible candidate for that.
And during his concession speech on Tuesday night, Kapanke said to his supporters that he's not going anywhere.
What an honor and what a blessing it's been for me to serve all of you. And I ain't going away. I'll be around doing something. I guarantee you that.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know if he'll ever run for political office again. Dan Kapanke is a fairly complex person, more than most people think. If you asked him what are the most important things to him, politics would not have been number one. And by the way, I shouldn't be putting words in his mouth, so I apologize for that. But I think family is extremely important to him. Religion's very important to him.
And baseball.
Baseball is important to him, darn right. So I think you know he's not going anywhere. And I expect he would maintain some interest and element in politics and government. I think he'll always be a force in this area for politics. And he'll be a prominent Republican for many years. Now, somewhere down the road, maybe an opportunity might occur and he might consider running for a higher office again, or for political office. It's not unheard of. I know he has not precluded the possibility of running for Congress. He did say he was not going to run for the Senate, state Senate again. And I assume that was going to happen, you know, in November of 2012. But he hasn't said, no, I'm not running for Congress. So that may, in fact, be in his future again. You never know. But I think he's a very civic-minded person.
He had another quote during his concession speech that I found interesting, and I also thought kind of summed up the relationship that he had with Schilling.
So I've called Jen Schilling. I've congratulated her. One thing I'm happy for is that the Senate seems to run by regular hours. The Assembly, so she's going to have better hours. She's got a family. I hope she comes back to the loggers. I've invited her back. And so we must move on. We just must move on. And I want you to support her. I know. When you can. Please, when you can. Please do that. And we'll just keep moving Wisconsin forward because we are on the right path.
What do you think about that?
I will tell you that they actually, I'm sure they were not looking forward to this campaign. As I mentioned, Representative Schilling could have run against him a year and a half ago and chose not to because they worked well together. They could put aside their party labels and work for the good of Western Wisconsin. I cite several instances where they both worked together for the good of UW-La Crosse. They saved this university millions of dollars. They helped us in so many ways. We are grateful to both of them. But they were able to put things aside and work together. I know one of their more prominent things is they were getting dental care in Western Wisconsin. But they were able to set aside their partisan differences and work for the good of Western Wisconsin. And I admire Senator Kapanke for saying stuff like that because I think he still feels it's important for Western Wisconsin for the good of the region.
So now Senator-elect Schilling, her 95th Assembly District seat, will be open. sometime soon. We have no idea when the election's going to be declared because Governor Walker has to set that, and his spokesman yesterday said they haven't even thought about it yet. What are your predictions for this race? Are we going to see as much national interest that we saw in the Senate race?
No. How's a fast one like that? No. In fact, I'm going to say I hope not. No, it'll have some interest because whenever you have a single election like that, it gets some statewide attention, and there's a certain amount of focus in it. The district, however, has been Democratic in recent years. Jennifer Schilling's won very handily, but you don't find open seats very often. So I always tell people that if they're going to run against an incumbent, their chances of winning about 1 in 10. It's very difficult to beat an incumbent. So when you have an open seat, it attracts people. It's their one shot at possibly winning a Senate seat or Assembly seat or whatever is open. So I expect a fairly good number of candidates to emerge. There are two already on the Democratic side that have announced that they're thinking of running or they filed papers.
Yeah, they filed papers with the Government Accountability Board.
And I would expect a few more to pop up in that area. I also expect the Republicans will have some candidates as well. There are at least three or four people out there that have previously run for that seat, either against Schilling or in some other previous race. And so those people, once you've done it, you'll think, maybe this is my chance to do it. So I think it's going to be an interesting election. Hopefully it's earlier rather than later.
And if this happens in the fall, if he declares it by fall, and say there's a primary and then the election, Ginny Dankmeyer, the La Crosse County clerk, said that this will be the seventh election in La Crosse County this year.
Oh, gosh. It's the year of elections, right? Of course, when we get done with that election, we're going to be running right into the spring elections, in February and April, and presidential primary.
And if Democrats collect enough signatures to recall Governor Walker, which could start happening in November?
Yes, apparently they can start gathering signatures then, which it would be interesting to see if they go ahead and do that. That's another topic, of course. But when that would occur doesn't seem really clear. I would hope that if that does happen, that would be piggybacked into some of these other ones. Otherwise, we really are going to have an election every month.
That was Joe Heim, a UW La Crosse political scientist, analyzing this week's recall elections. Coming up in the next half hour, the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors has appointed a new chair. Tara Johnson is the first woman to hold the position in the county's history. We'll hear her thoughts on La Crosse County and plans for the future. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.